Come on in to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ Bible Study. We are here and we are waiting for you. 6 o'clock straight up, so come on in.
Well, we praise God for each of you. Let us know that the sound is clear and that you're getting a good signal as we prepare for this time together tonight. Of course, this is indeed the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to pick back up where we left off on last week in Proverbs. We're going to begin in the 20th chapter. And basically what we're going to do tonight is just go through some select scriptures through 20 and end at 29. And we hope that you have had an opportunity to read some of these particular chapters in your leisure. But we won't try to cover each of those chapters, but we'll lift up a few verses out of each, starting at the 20th chapter of Proverbs and moving through chapter 29 for tonight. And then that will finish us up for Proverbs, Lady Kim, and then we'll prepare to go into Ecclesiastes on next week. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, even as you're joining, let us know you're getting a good signal, and we praise God for each of you. And let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we bless you and we honor you and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence in our lives. We thank you for sustaining us throughout this day up until this point. And we pray for your keeping power throughout the night. And God, we ask that you will cover us and keep us and then allow us to receive what you have for us through your word tonight. You said your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So God, order our steps even tonight as we get ready to study your word. And we pray the Lord that our faith will increase as a result of us spending this time together tonight. We lift up all of those who are going to join us and those who are going to hear this particular virtual study by playback. And we ask now that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Forgive us of our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise God.
Amen.
All right, Lady Kim, we're going to start at the 20th chapter, but before we do that, just give us a preview, if you will, or what happened this past weekend as we gathered at the top, atop.
Amen. Gathered at the top. I like
that.
Well, you preached a powerful sermon, continuing your series with talking about insecurities, the relationship series on insecurities. And you talked about begging to belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an interesting topic that you had on yesterday, begging to belong, because we all want to belong.
That's right.
You know, we all, like you say, we all need relationships. And so we all want to belong, whether it's to a fraternity or sorority or some kind of club, the golf club or Jack and Jill or whatever. You know, we all want to feel a sense of belonging. And so you preach from the scripture, Mark 5, 18 through 20, where it talks about, you went a little bit before that and talked and set the foundation for those scriptures by talking about how the man with many demons,
Legion,
was in the cemetery, cutting himself with stones. The people in the town, they could not restrain or constrain this man. They would put him in shackles and chains, and he was able to break them. That's how strong the demons were that possessed him. However, when Jesus came through, you know, he begged Jesus to help him.
That's
and
right.
Jesus cast those demons out of him. The Bible says that when Jesus cast the demons out, they went into a herd of swine, and that the swine ran violently off of a cliff and they drowned. Well, the people in the town had an issue with that because, you know, that was their livelihood. Those swine were their livestock. But following that, you know, when Jesus got into the boat getting ready to leave, the demon-possessed man begged Jesus if he could go with him, and Jesus told him no. And I thought it was very interesting that you said sometimes, you know, God tells us no.
That's
you
right.
know, and that God's no at that particular time, it may not be a final no. You know, it might happen somewhere down the line. It might be a final no because God has something different for us. So some of your points were understanding how to deal with rejection. We have to understand how to deal with rejection. When God says no, it's within our best interest. And you said rejection can be a place of reflection. Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, you can when you're rejected, you need to reflect on what it is or why it is you have been rejected. You know, maybe it's not meant to be a personal thing. Maybe it's meant to build you up and not to tear you down. You talked about understanding the fear factor.
Yes.
How a lot of us are afraid of the state. We can be afraid of the state that we're in. And then we can be afraid to move forward. We don't want to go forward. We don't know how to move forward once we've been delivered. And so we have to understand our fear factor. And then the last one was becoming totally secure in God. Totally secure in what God can do. Not our ability, but what God has done in our lives.
That's good. That's good. So that whole sermon really has a lot in it, and a lot of meat is still left on that bone, Lady Kim, because Legion was, and I referred to him as Legion, he was going through quite a bit because people had misused and abused him, and they confined him to a place that really gave him a sense of insecurity. And as a result of that, he was looking and searching for a way out. And the Bible says when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshiped him. And I think the same thing applies to us when we're going through, when we have been abandoned by society, we have been pushed back by family and friends. We can still, even in our reflection, come out with a new direction. Mm. And so it was with this man, Legion. He did not get a chance to go with God. But the interesting thing about it, when the people saw him, it was a testimony of what God had done. So
Amen.
Everywhere he went,
everywhere he
showed his face, mm-hmm. people would know that was the man
yes.
who was up in the mountains, in the cemetery, cutting himself mm-hmm. and crying at night and making a loud noise, and people wouldn't even go near him. I kind of used that little illustration about the cemetery back in Birmingham. But the cemetery is not a place where you want to reside, you know, on a permanent basis, unless, of course, you have just given up the ghost. You know, that's still
know, right?
not a permanent place. But that's an interesting thing, and I was just trying to tie that in to make that live for us in terms of how scary that can be, because that was one of our shortcuts growing up. And I tell you, it was a scary endeavor, particularly at night. And we were trying to play a prank and got a prank played on us, got pranked in the process.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was a great word. And all of us are begging, like you said, to belong. And some are begging in silence. They don't know how to voice their frustration or what they might be going through. But all of us want to belong. All of us want to be a part. All of us want to be in the mix, if you will. All of us want to be, you know, associated with someone or something. Misery loves company. And we have not been made to live and exist by ourselves. Everybody needs somebody. And we all need to belong to something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Family, friends, you know, spouses, whatever it might be. God has designed us to be in relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
After all, he is a God of relationships. And the Bible is a book all about relationships. And so we have to make sure that we fit in where we can get in. Is that how
Amen.
They say it? Fit in
get
where you
in.
Get in where you fit in.
In.
That's right. All right. Well, look like I saw my good friend, Brother John Tonstow. Good to see you, Dr. John Tonstow, all the way from Los Angeles. Good to see you on the call tonight. And all of those who are yet present, this was a gift from my good friend, Dr. John Tonstow. You can see it. It's the Kobe Bryant. This is a limited edition. You can't just go in the store and get this one now. You have to get this one shipped to you from a special place in Los Angeles that my friend Dr. John Tunstall sent me. But all right, let's get ready to jump into this 20th chapter of Proverbs. And look, if you have prayer requests or praise reports, anything that you want to share, just go ahead and put your comments in the box. And Lady Kim will be watching the box as we move through this time together tonight. We're going to wrap up Proverbs tonight. We're talking about the books of wisdom, and we are going through Proverbs. We've already finished Job, and we're just going through not all of these at one time, but just kind of picking out some verses, lifting up some special verses in this particular, each of those chapters. And then we're going to try to move on through and be done with this by tonight. You think we can do that?
Absolutely.
Is that my good friend, Dr. Holmes, on the call?
Dr. Holmes, that was your buddy.
That's right. And, you know, that sermon title, as I was saying in my sermon yesterday, Begging to Belong, I heard Dr. Holmes preach a sermon as it related to that. He went a whole nother different direction than I did. But when I heard him and I heard that title, it really stuck in my spirit. And immediately as I read that particular passage of scripture, I saw insecurity just jumping off of the pages. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Dr. Holmes. I give you credit for it one time, but the next time, it's all mine. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into this 20th chapter of Proverbs, Lady Kim. And I think there's just one verse that they're lifting up in this 20th chapter, and that's verse number 1. And in that, the writer is really talking about an observation about conduct. And when you read that chapter in its entirety, you will see that he's reflecting and he's given some pointers, if you will, about the observation of our conduct. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I say, Lady Kim, our behavior ought to match our belief. Mm-hmm. And so what we believe about God should really line up with our behavior. We shouldn't act one way and then believe something altogether different. Amen. Would you agree with me on
that?
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, what does that one verse say? That's verse number 1, I believe, isn't it?
Yes, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, wine is a mocker.
Okay.
Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
Whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
Yes.
So wine is a mocker? Is that what it says?
Yes.
Okay. And so how does he really kind of break this out for clarity for those who trying to get a sense of understanding from this particular verse?
Well, it's just saying that wine not drunk in moderation makes men mockers or scoffers at God and at men.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, it talks about, and I know a lot of people beg to differ with this, but drinking wine in excess can really, you know, make you act out of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the way this begins. It says if it's not drunk in moderation, and strong drink, something stronger than wine, makes if you drink it, a lot of it makes you act unruly.
Wow.
You know, and we know that. Well, you know, I grew up with an alcoholic parent.
Okay.
And when he got full of strong drink, he would act unruly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would say crazy things, he would do crazy things. And so, but you know, my mother used to say, what's in your heart will come out.
Okay.
So, that's why this talks about being cautious about drinking in excess. Those who are deceived by wine are fools or madmen who deprave themselves of the use of their reasoning. Here, drunkenness is seen as an enemy to wisdom. Although it pretends to be a social thing, it causes men to be unfit for society, making them abusive with their tongues and their outrageous in their passions.
Wow, wow. I noticed, Lady Kim, you didn't give me room to talk about your dad, so I guess that was off limits for me when you were talking.
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not gonna do that, because I know how that goes. But no, your dad, he would. And you know, I remember when I first had a chance to meet your parents when I came to Chicago, and I was asking for your hand in marriage. The first thing he did, he set out a case of Old Style. And I guess he was putting me to the test to see
what kind of man. If you can hold your liquor.
That's right. This is what kind of man that was. Now, that old style, that was all he had. Well, that's all he used to drink.
Well, he drank Budweiser.
He'd get paps if they were out of old style. But they always had a case of beer somewhere. If it was not in the car, it was in the back, because your mom would look for all of his little hiding places and then
do away with
his
stash.
That's right. That's right. But he would hide it in the car everywhere he could. But bless his heart. I mean, Leon was a great man, a great innovator. He was a man ahead of his time.
He was.
And he had a lot of innovations that really took off, and he kind of planted some ideas. And I don't know if some of his ideas got into the hands of other people who took those ideas and ran with them, but he was a great man, and so he surely missed. And we had the privilege of baptizing your dad.
Yes.
At a late stage in his life. Of course, he was Catholic, but great man, Leon Jones. And so in this particular chapter, Proverbs, the 20th chapter, it's really emphasizing the importance of our conduct and our behavior. And we it's not saying not to drink, but it's saying make sure that it's in moderation. Mm-hmm. And the influence, because I think, where is it? In Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, wherein with access, but excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so when we are controlled by a substance, some people who go overboard, you can see their behavior become kind of outrageous, unruly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they start saying a whole lot of things that, like your mom used to say, that's already in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And once you say words, you know, and put that out there, you can't take those words back.
That's right.
You know, so, or you, and a lot of times it's just foolery,
mm-hmm.
foolishness
mm-hmm.
that you speak. You know, you don't.
Right.
You don't speak coherently.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's really just the one verse that we had in the 20th chapter. Are there any comments there? Anybody sharing anything as it relates to that?
No.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the 21st chapter. We're in Proverbs, and we're just pulling out some scriptures from each of these chapters as we make our way to chapter 29. And Proverbs, the 21st chapter, I think there's only one verse there that we want to emphasize, but I think part of what the writer is trying to get us to see here in this 21st chapter is he's still dealing with observations, still talking about behavior,
mm-hmm.
and he's still trying to let us understand the importance and the significance of our behavior and how it should match our belief. And that's not what that verse says, but that's just how I'm summarizing that in terms
mm-hmm.
of trying to make it live for us even today. So you want to lift up verse number 30,
mm-hmm.
if you will?
You know, when I was reading that, I went back to verse 29 because I think it ties in. It says, wicked man hardens his face, but as for the upright, he establishes his way. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord.
Okay. So it really, those two verses tie in together.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout scripture, you will find that you have to sometimes go back and in front of the particular scripture that you might use in order to get the full essence of what is taking place in a particular set of scriptures. You've just finished last week with your, third cohort?
Mm-hmm.
And so the preaching, that's part of preaching in terms of getting clarity in terms of the whole essence of a particular story that you're trying to lift
that's
up.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is that 21st verse, what is the thing that we need to have as a takeaway or some significance from that particular verse?
That to the ungodly, there is no wisdom nor understanding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, none can boast itself against the Lord. No one can avail against him. The wisdom of man is seen in the fear of God.
The wisdom of man is seen in the fear of God.
Right.
And that's godly fear, right?
Godly fear,
that's
right.
That's not a fear where you are scared or you are, you know, terrified. But it's a godly reverence, if
mm-hmm.
you will, of God. And so the writer is saying the wisdom of man is seen in that regard. When we have a godly reverence, when we have a godly fear, a reverent fear of the Lord, then that betrays wisdom in turn on our behalf.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any comments there as we're moving? We're moving right through now. So if you have comments, or even if you have requests, prayer requests, then we want you to go ahead and start putting those in the box tonight as we are yet moving through Proverbs. We just finished the 21st chapter, and we just lifted up one verse. Well, Lady Kim lifted up two verses, 29 and 30. And now we're going to chapter 22, and we're going to lift up, I believe, one verse in chapter 22.
Yes, it's one verse in all these chapters, I believe.
Okay, all right.
Till we get to the end.
And so part of what the overarching theme here for the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, and we hope that you will read it at your leisure, it has to do with study God, how important it is to study God's word. I think the writer of Psalms says that word is a lamp unto my feet,
yes,
and a light unto my pathway. And so it's important that we are rooted and grounded, and then that we get clarity and understanding, so that even though we read something, it's a big difference between really hearing and listening. Would you agree with me
on
that?
Absolutely, yes.
And so a lot of people hear the word, and the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But sometimes we don't really listen, because in Revelation it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord God is saying unto the church.
Right.
And so we've got to not only hear this word, but we got to listen so that we can act appropriately, and that we can, I guess, put everything in place that will benefit our journey and help us along the way.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's read Proverbs 22 and 17, and let's see what the Lord is saying as a result of that.
It says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge.
Okay. Read that again.
Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge.
Okay, okay. And so I guess that's powerful, isn't it?
It is.
He said, bow down and that bow down thine ear, mm-hmm, and hear the words of the wise. And not only just hear, James says, don't just be hearers of the word.
Yeah, but doers.
But doers of the word. And so he says, apply thine heart unto my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be some form of action that goes along with your faith.
With the hearing.
With the hearing, mm-hmm, and with the faith. Would you agree with me on
that? That's right. When you activate it, when you hear the word and then you act on it, then we know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
okay.
Not until you act on it that you really know that a person has heard what was said.
Okay.
So when you bow down, that means get a little bit closer,
mm-hmm,
you know, so you can hear this plainly.
Okay.
So bow down your ear, get a little closer, incline thine ear. Another version of the Bible says, and hear the word of the wise.
Hear the word of the wise.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's saying, listen to the words of the wise, and apply them unto your heart.
Mm-hmm.
To incline thine ear, get closer, listen, and then do what the Lord tells you to do.
Okay, okay. So that's good. I think that summarizes that one verse. That's Proverbs 22 and 17. And as we've indicated, for those of you just joining us, we're not reading the entire chapter, but we're only just picking up a verse out of each chapter. And we'll give you an overarching theme for the whole chapter, but we're just moving through, and we're going to stop at chapter 29 tonight, and that will bring us to the close of our study in Proverbs.
Mm-hmm.
But this 23rd chapter, it deals a lot with evils to be avoided and avoided by the wise, and it has a lot to do with how we behave. It's still that behavior, and also dealing with our attitudes. So I think this one verse will say a little bit about some of the things that we need to avoid and how we need to really take heed to some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It, the 23rd verse of the 23rd chapter says, "Buy the truth and sell it not,
mm-hmm.
also wisdom and instruction and understanding." So here again, we're talking about, you know, the importance or the value of knowledge,
okay.
of wisdom and knowledge.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The truth here is described under the three head of wisdom, self-discipline, and understanding,
wow.
which are to be obtained from God, who gives to every man liberally without
mm-hmm.
money and without price.
Okay.
And that comes out of Isaiah 55 and 1.
Okay, okay. So God is willing to give us that which we don't have. And we have not many times because we ask not. And even when we ask, sometimes we ask amiss in terms of trying to consume things or for our own personal desire or pleasure. But this is clear right here that God wants us to make sure that we get the truth, we get wisdom, we get instruction and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so so we won't go off half-cocked. We'll have an opportunity to fully digest and allow God to speak to us that we might have clarity in terms of that which we've heard.
Amen. Sister Gwen said, "Pay attention to the word of the wise and govern yourselves accordingly."
Okay, okay. Pay
that's
attention
good.
To the words of the wise
mm-hmm.
and govern yourself accordingly. That's excellent. All right. Well, any other comments there, Lady Kim, as we're moving right through? We're in Proverbs now, the 24th chapter. And as we indicated, we're not reading the whole chapter. We're just picking out one verse, I think, from all of these particular chapters as we prepare to close out our study in Proverbs. But in this 24th chapter, it's really talking about strength, justice, and industry. And so that's the overarching theme for that 24th chapter. But there's one verse in particular, I think it's the 14th verse, that we want to read and then just give a point of explanation for that verse.
Okay. The 14th verse of the 24th chapter says, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, and thy expectation shall not be cut off." Let me read that from another translation.
Okay.
It says, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off."
Wow. That's great. So the writer here is talking about understanding, knowing and understanding that wisdom is equally sweet and good for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so That whole theme that runs through Proverbs has to do with getting understanding, and it has also to do with making sure that you get that wisdom that's necessary in order for you to move forward and be who God has called you to be. Because many times people go, they run with something, but they don't have full understanding.
That's right.
And that's where sometimes scriptures get misquoted or situations happen, and then we're not fully able to access the word that we receive. But another writer said that word, that's the psalmist as well, "That word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And so we have to make sure that we allow that word to be saturated in our hearts. For as a man thinketh, how does that scripture go?
So is he.
And out of the heart flows the issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that? Or the abundance of life?
Issues of life.
Okay. So somebody, if that's not the correct, I'm just going from what I...
Going from your memory?
Yeah, from my memory.
And sometimes that memory fails.
All right, now, see.
I'll be the first to admit sometimes my memory fails me.
Say what? What did you say? You breaking up. I didn't hear you.
Let's move on, please, sir.
All right. So that's the 24th chapter, and that was verse number 14. Anything else you want to add to that as we've shared? Because it talks about some everlasting reward, doesn't it?
Yes, that the everlasting reward is our future in spite of the difficulty and trouble some may have in obtaining it. They will have the hope of eternal life founded in Christ and his righteousness.
Okay, founded in Christ and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. That's good, that's good. Well, let's move over to chapter 25, and I think this still deals with appropriate and inappropriate behavior, and it also, that's the overarching theme, but it also narrows it down in terms of some specifics here, and this is a very interesting verse in that 12th chapter of Proverbs. Those of you who are following along with us, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn. But Lady Kim is just lifting up. We're lifting up one verse out of each of these chapters as we move through.
Amen. That 12th verse in the 25th chapter says, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Read that again.
I'm going to read from another translation. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So that just means that, you know, an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is highly acceptable, mm-hmm. just as a wise reprover who offers rebuke or okay. who offers gentle correction
okay.
or with a kind, you know, with the intent to help someone. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. listening ear is better than an ear hung with gold through it is highly acceptable. A great ornament and not an offense and dishonor as the wise reprover who offers rebukes or scolding or correcting to an ear that listens and learns. A mutual relationship is formed with a wise speaker or reprover and a hearer who listens to his admonishments. The obedient ear receives the precepts of the wise reprover and wears them as a valued ornament.
Wow.
So in other words, it's saying if you listen and abide by the words of the wise, mm-hmm. then it's just like wearing beautiful earrings that adorn the ear.
Okay. All right. That's good. They see somebody walking by, so.
Walking a dog.
Yeah. Pixie get in there wonder when she sees that somebody's coming around the corner. But that's great. That's a great explanation. And so wisdom should be just as valuable to us mm-hmm. as those things that we might think of as material value,
right.
like an earring or like a diamond and things of that nature.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we moving on?
Yes. Let's move to chapter 26, and we'll lift up one verse there, and that's verse number 12. And I think part of what the overarching theme here for this 26th chapter has to do with foolishness and deceitful. So we're going to look at that 12th verse and see what it says to us. Is it 12th verse?
Yes, it's the 12th verse.
Okay.
26 and 12.
Okay. All right.
26 and 12 says, seeing thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him.
Read that again.
I read it in another translation. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
Okay. A man wise in his own eyes.
Uh-huh.
So he's thinking more highly of himself than he ought.
Uh-huh. He thinks he's a know-it-all.
Okay. All right.
Have you seen people like that before?
Yeah.
That think they mm-hmm. know everything. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's, you know, and then if you catch that person and he realizes or she realizes that they're wrong, then they spin it like that's what they were saying all along.
Yeah.
I know some people like that. I would, you know, that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying, you see. No, you a fool. You are trying to be wise in your own eyes, and you're not listening to the wisdom of others.
Okay. That's good. We won't stay there too long, but that's an excellent explanation of that particular verse. That's Proverbs 26 and 12. And you can jot that down and you can read it later at your leisure. But there in the comments, so anybody want to share, we are open to sharing your comments and just hearing what others have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, and not thinking that we know it all and that we are above other people. But there are people out there, and it's not based upon one's age or maturity. It's based upon their understanding of the word and listening to God and allowing God to give them the wisdom that they need in order to apply it to life.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So let's look at Proverbs 27. And I think there is one verse there as well. Of course, as we indicated, for those of you just joining us, we're going through Proverbs as we prepare to close out. We're going to stop at the 29th chapter, but we're only lifting up just one verse out of each of those chapters. But the overarching theme for the 27th chapter has to do with moral lessons. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked several weeks ago about how practical Proverbs is, and it gives us biblical principles that we can use even today.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that much of what we read is for our example, so that we won't be consumed by some of the same things and some of the pitfalls of those who have gone before us.
Absolutely. And you know, if you really get into the book of Proverbs, you know what is being stated. People used to say, oh, the Bible is something written so long ago that it's not applicable, but
right.
That's not true.
Right.
The same stuff that went on then is going on right now, and Proverbs can give you wise handles and give you wisdom as you gain understanding about how to handle your life.
Okay, that's good. That's mm-hmm. good. Well, let's look at 27 and verse number 11.
My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproaches me.
Okay. So here we see the father tells his son to be wise
mm-hmm.
in words and in action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's key right there, because not only should we speak wise words, but we also should allow our actions to compliment and speak louder. That's mm-hmm. good. That's good. Compliment what we are saying,
mm-hmm.
and making his father's heart glad. His father wants to be able to give an answer to those who accuse his son of unwanted behavior,
mm-hmm.
and so the action should match the belief.
Mm-hmm.
The behavior should match the belief.
Absolutely.
And so that's important. And part of what this whole 27th chapter is trying to get us to understand about moral lessons. That's a powerful lesson, isn't it?
Yes.
That we need to make sure that what we say is consistent with what we believe.
And you know, if we take these things to heart, we will avoid a lot of heartache and a lot of headache.
That's right.
Just by heeding or listening to, and we talked about that in one of the verses tonight, about listening to wise counsel
mm-hmm.
and taking heed, bending our ear down,
right,
and taking heed of these wise words that we're saying.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's chapter 27. And we're moving to chapter 28 now. And there's one verse in chapter 28, and that's the 26th verse. And the overarching theme here has to do with destinies of evil and that of good. Destinies of the evil and the good, I'll put it that way. And so that's the overarching theme of this particular chapter. But we're only lifting up this one verse, and that's verse number 26.
Okay. And it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
He who walks wisely shall be delivered. So not only, that's that behavior again, right? We not only have to talk the talk, but we have to
walk the walk,
right? And so we can't say one thing and then we do something altogether different. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
The person who trusts in his own heart is confident in his own wisdom and will perish in foolishness or folly. This person is a fool. But whoever walks wisely or whoever walks in wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. The person who walks in wisdom will be delivered from the trouble which the fool has brought by his own self-confidence.
That's good. That's good. I like that one. So this really kind of ties into that overarching theme, because destinies of evil and good, and it'll let you know almost how things are going to turn out based upon how you respond to what you're going through. You're going to respond in wisdom, or you're going to act a fool, or you're going to walk in wisdom, or are you going to just cut up? You know, a lot of people cut up. Some believers will cut up. They won't. They'll lay aside their wisdom, their righteous indignation, and they'll go for what they know.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, when we were growing up, my mother wouldn't allow us to call each other fools. I'm still trying to figure that out. She would admonish us if I said, "You're a fool."
Would she?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I guess a fool, I guess she was saying she wasn't raising no fools. So don't call each other a fool.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, I was thinking as you were saying that, I don't know how the saying goes. Similar to, it's not what my name is, but what you call me. Is that how it goes?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
Oh, okay. It's not what you call me, but something like that. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, then y'all can go ahead and put that in the comment box. But if you don't, then don't worry about it. Because, you know, I think it has to do with that name. It's not my name, but it's something. I don't remember how it goes.
Okay.
All right. But we're in Proverbs 28, right? We just finished Proverbs 28. And there's just one verse there that Lady Kim just finished lifting up. And that's a powerful verse.
It's not what you call me, it's what I answer to?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Okay,
I was way over there somewhere with that one.
Thank you, Dr. Q, for bringing it on in.
But I got the first part
right.
Yeah,
you got
the first part right, yeah. And I was trying to tie it in with that whole piece about
the name.
About the name, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. All right, well, let's look at chapter 29, and then we can get ready to close this out, Lady Kim. Because
I think there are a couple of verses in 29 that we're going to look at.
There's the 11th verse, and then there's also the 15th verse. Why don't we do this? Why don't we just start at verse number 10 and read through 15? Let's read all five of those verses. Because we have about another 10 minutes before we prepare to get our praise reports and everything in, and then we'll get ready to close out for tonight.
Okay, beginning with the 10th verse of the 29th chapter. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright seek his well-being. A fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. The king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You wanted me to read to verse 15?
15,
That was 15.
Okay. And part of what happens here in this 29th chapter, when you read it in its entirety, you'll see that the overarching theme has to do with repent or suffer. That's what the overarching theme, because in that 11th verse that you lifted up, it says, a fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in until until afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people just go off and they start trying to express themselves in terms of what they might be going through or what's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And but it says the wise man keep it in till afterwards. And in other words, till after the whole whatever it might be, the situation or the conversation has occurred, rather than just jumping in and being, I guess, a little some emotional with your reaction, because we can react out of emotions, and many times what we're saying is things that we later on look
regret.
At and regret,
mm-hmm.
or we feel sorry for, we want to repent about
mm-hmm.
those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying the wise man really just kind of keeps that in,
mm-hmm.
and holds his peace, in
right,
other words.
Right,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the New King James Version, it says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So sometimes it's not prudent for you to say anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially if it's a heated situation,
okay.
in anger. You know, the other person is saying stuff, and just all out there. Sometimes you just have to learn how to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Gwen said her mother told us we were not smart enough to call anyone a fool.
Wow, that's good.
That's good. Okay.
So that's probably down
that's
the
probably
same line.
Same, yes, that my mother
mom, uh-huh.
was talking about.
Yeah.
She would not allow us to call each other a fool.
So was that basically in the house with your siblings, or was that in general with everybody?
Well, that was in the house with the siblings, but I guess, you know, I took it for you don't call anybody a fool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who am I to call someone a fool and I don't really even know them,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
They might do something foolish, but that doesn't necessarily make them a fool.
Okay.
You know, I think everybody makes mistakes, and we learn from our mistakes. That's what helps us to become wiser. But just because we make mistakes don't mean we're fools.
Okay. That's good. All right, let's look at that 15th verse then, and we're getting ready to wrap it up, because this is part of, I think, what we talked about early on as we were going through Proverbs in terms of the rod of reproof.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that one say? 15:29.
New King James says, the rod of rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother.
Okay, and what is it? What translation is that?
That was New King James Version.
Okay, and what does this version say?
The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Okay, so how would you unpack that in terms of the rod and reproof?
That if we don't discipline our children, and the word is children,
mm-hmm.
if we don't discipline our children when they're young, then they're going to bring shame upon mm-hmm. us and
mm-hmm.
upon the family.
Okay.
You know, and that's, I think, is what's wrong with a lot of parents today.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid to discipline their children. And so this one specifically says the rod. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I got plenty of whippings when I was growing up, and I think it made me a better person.
Were you bad growing up?
I wasn't bad. I was just curious.
Okay. So that's another word for what, bad?
No, I wasn't.
You wasn't
bad? I was disobedient.
Okay.
A lot of times. Many times,
that
yes.
That still sounds like bad to me, but I understand where you're going with that.
No, I was not bad. I consider bad being disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
you know,
talking
robbing
and
stealing and talking back.
Staying
no,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't like that, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I did stay out. But
You're breaking up,
I didn't talk back. I mean, we had a time where we could voice our opinion, but my parents always had the last words of wisdom for us.
Okay. And so this is that designed specifically for children. That's what you said earlier.
Yes.
And how important that is. Because there's a certain age that even children get, if they haven't received a foundational structure in terms of biblical principles, it's almost hard to start trying to instill that in them
right.
when they're 13, 14, 15 years of old age. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Because they've already developed their personality and their way of how they handle things. And mm-hmm. and it's easy. It's interesting that you don't have to teach a child how to do wrong, mm-hmm. but you have to correct them from the wrong that they do. You have
right.
to teach them how to be right.
Right. Because the Bible says we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. So mm-hmm. you don't have to teach kids how to do what's wrong. You have to teach them what's right.
Okay.
And so Sister Mold says when you don't discipline your children, they don't learn the consequences for bad behavior
that's
or
right.
misbehavior.
That's right.
And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we coddle them and keep them away, you know, and if we think their bad behavior is cute when they're little, when they're toddlers, and let them get away with things, then they won't understand that there are negative consequences to their bad behaviors.
And it carries over into adulthood.
That's right.
And so it really shows up in a very different light
mm-hmm.
when they are subjected to the laws of the land.
Absolutely.
And they have to deal with those consequences. And some of them start out at an early age because there's no, we used to call it home training.
Home training.
You know, and so when they get out there, then they're buck wild and they're doing any and everything. And they find themselves in trouble, not just with their parents, but with the law.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not beating. We're not talking about beating a child, you know. We were laughing at church one Sunday when I was telling them that one time Tierra kept acting up in church because I always sang in the choir and I had direct eye contact with her. And she used to sit with some people, but, you know, she was acting up a little bit and I kept telling her, if you act up again, I'm gonna spank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was acting up this particular Sunday and I came out of the choir stand and so she thought she was going to shame me. She started hollering, I don't want a whooping. I don't want a whooping. But I just calmly came out of the choir stand, took her by the hand as she was hollering down the aisle, I don't want a whooping. I don't want a whooping. I took her to the restroom. I had a comb in my purse and I switched her, stung her legs with that comb and brought her back in there and told her, if you cut up again, I'm going to come, every time you cut up, I'm going to come out that choir stand. Do you think she cut up on me again? Absolutely not. And I'm not talking about beating a child down, but just that little rat tail comb in my purse against her legs taught her that I meant business.
Okay.
And so that's what we're talking about, the rod of correction. And you have to
slow down, Reverend. You're getting excited now.
Every child is different.
All right.
Where I had to sting Tierra's leg, I just had to scold Tiffany and look at her and those big crocodile tears would well up in her eyes. So you have to learn the temperament of your children. You have to learn what they need.
Yeah, and that's what's missing today.
Yes.
Because really you have parents who are young and they haven't been trained or they haven't gone through any discipline, and to say they haven't even gone through any spiritual understanding about the word and how to apply it. Mm-hmm. And so they have no ground in terms of how they are going to implement that into their children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say?
Dr. Q said the rod of correction is a rat tail comb. Poindexter mm-hmm. said teach them before 5 years old.
That's right.
That's right. You have to instill that in them because that's when you can use a rat tail comb before they're 5 years old. When they get 15 and 16, you hit them with a rat tail comb, they're looking at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, that's when you instill that discipline in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're better for it, I believe.
Thank you, Dr. John Tunstall. He says, anointed team teaching. We appreciate that. And we're getting ready to close out tonight, Lady Kim. I think we've covered our assignment for tonight.
Yes.
And so the book of Proverbs really gives us powerful principles as it relates to discipline, And it also gives us powerful principles as it relates to wisdom and understanding and the fear of God and clarity in terms of how we, you know, use what we've received that we might be beneficial in our walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
What did Pastor Holmes say?
Pastor Holmes says, discipline is teaching how to do the right thing over and over. Children without discipline become adults without discipline.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And many of them get caught up in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to go back through all of that process that was not instilled with them, within them at an early age, and find themselves really, even though they might be mature when it comes to their age, they are still immature
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the things of God.
Amen. Amen.
You have some more comments there?
Sister Deborah has a prayer request. We will definitely keep you lifted up in prayer in your back procedure on Wednesday. And Sister Gwen Staples says, I was given a FB warning for my statement on the rod of correction. I restated. A Facebook warning.
Was she?
I was getting a Facebook warning for my statement on the rod of correction. I will reinstate. Beat them. They will not die.
So Facebook picked
that up? Facebook didn't like that.
About what did she say?
You know, when in the Bible, when it says, you shall beat them with the rod, they shall not surely die.
Uh-huh.
She had to take something out.
Wow. So I guess they sent her a message.
A message, I guess so.
Wow, isn't that something?
For quoting the Bible.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
Yes. Okay, well, any more prayer requests as we get ready to close tonight? Sister Deborah, we most certainly will be praying for you in your procedure. Any other prayer requests? All right.
What do we have coming up this week, Lady Kim, that maybe, particularly with our institute?
Institute for Leadership Training mm-hmm. this coming Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m. We'll hold 1 hour. You have to be registered in order to participate. You can still register. Registration is getting ready to close, though, because this will be our second meeting.
Right.
So after Thursday, I believe you will not be able to register, because we will be ending. That third one will be the end of our
first module. That's right. And so, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So I was just going to say, so if you're interested in being in the Institute for Leadership Training, you need to get in before Thursday.
Dr. Qualis, is there some information that you have that will direct those who are present who might want to be a part of it? If you have that information, go ahead and put it in the box so that if we have some people who are on that are interested. And that number has grown since our last Thursday, and I think we're up to about 40 people now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
40 people in the Leadership Institute.
Mm-hmm.
So we are thankful. The Leadership Institute is geared towards the leaders of ATOP. We're refocusing and reframing, and in order to be in leadership at ATOP, you have to go through the Institute for Leadership Training. If you're thinking about being in leadership at ATOP, this is a good time to go through the class. If you just want to know what ATOP is all about, this is a good time to sign up for the class as we go forward with the Leadership Institute.
Okay, and there are four different modules that we go through, and three of them are in person. The first three for each session is in person, and then the fourth one is a workshop. It's virtual. The first three are virtual.
First three are virtual.
And the workshop for the fourth one is in person. And so we're excited about this particular 2.0 Institute for Leadership Training. And it has some dynamic components to it. We're dealing with leadership right now, and we're going to deal with discipleship, stewardship, and with outreach. And we'll talk in depth about all of those. Lady Kim, myself, Dr. Qualis, and Dr. Butler are the leaders for those particular modules. And I believe Dr. Qualis just put the information on the screen about how to register. So if there are those who are interested in being a part of the Institute for Leadership Training, even though it's designated and designed for ATOP, we still have people outside of Anointed Temple of Praise that are participating in this particular institute. As a matter of fact, one of the pastors here in the city has two of his people that are going to go through this year, this Thursday, starting this Thursday. And I saw Paul Robinson today when I was at the store, and he said, "Pastor, I'm so excited." He said, "I'm going to definitely be on Thursday." Mm-hmm. So he said he wants to get that training. And so I think it's going to benefit you. It's going to open your eyes and give you clarity as it relates to leadership, discipleship, stewardship, and outreach. Mm-hmm. And at the end of each of those modules, we will have some form of demonstration as it relates to how all of those apply to your life. So this is biblical now. This mm-hmm. is biblical leadership and all of the things. And the components has to do with how we can use them in the life of the body of Christ called church.
Amen. Amen.
Did Dr. Tunstall have a comment there?
He said another cancer survivor walking in victory.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
He got a good report and rang the bell last week, I believe it
awesome.
Was.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
So that's great.
Thank God for
that's
that.
That's powerful.
We have a few bereavements in our congregation. Sister Hallie Bars, the daughter of Sister Erin Jethro, she lost her grandmother, and that funeral will be held on the 25th
okay.
of July in St. Louis, Missouri. And also, slips my mind, Sister Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy? Is it Dorothy?
Dorothy Thomas, in the loss of her sister and her nephew. And then on yesterday, I haven't gotten clarity yet, but I was in Sunday school, and Mother Pearl Manning mm-hmm. stated that her sister's grandson was tragically killed riding mm. a bicycle and was hit by a car.
Wow.
And they rushed him to the hospital, and the little boy did not survive. So we're asking prayers for that family. I don't know the name, but that's Sister Mother Pearl Manning's sister's grandson. Lift her up.
And Pearl Manning is the mother.
Pearl Manning is the mother of Sister Georgia Rucker.
Right, right. Just to kind of bring some, so people can kind of tie in the.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And I'm missing one more person right now. Trying to think of who it is.
All right. Well, the information is there for the Institute for Leadership Training 2.0. If you're interested, go ahead and click that link. And if you want to register, feel free to do that. You won't regret it. I think it's going to be beneficial to you. And we're excited about this Institute for Leadership Training.
Amen. The last one that I couldn't remember was Sister Shirley Williams mm-hmm. in the loss of her sister-in-law. So, Sister Shirley Williams, we're lifting you up in prayer also.
Okay. Well, Lady Kim, will you close us out with a word of prayer tonight, a powerful time. And even as you're closing, on next week we're going to start with Ecclesiastes. Mm-hmm. And we'll cover the introduction for chapter 1. And then we'll move through Ecclesiastes starting next week.
Amen. And we're not going to do Ecclesiastes like we did Proverbs.
No. We're going to settle down.
We're going to settle down and really go through mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes. But Proverbs was such a book of wisdom, with book of wise sayings. We just lifted up a few verses, one or two verses from each chapter just to expound on, because all of the other ones, the theme that was woven, the thread that was woven throughout the chapter was in every one of those verses.
That's right. That's
but Ecclesiastes, right. We will go in depth. Let us go to God in prayer as we close on tonight. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We lift up our hearts and minds to you in prayer. We thank you, God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask, God, that you will go by the hospitals, God, and touch the sick. We ask that you would touch Sister Deborah, God, as she prepares for the back procedure on Wednesday. We ask that you would guide the hands of the doctors, the surgeons, the anesthetists, and all, oh God, who are going to minister to her during her time of need. We ask that you would continue to heal Brother Darryl, God.
Yes, God.
We ask, oh God, that you would heal all those that are on our sick and shut-in list. Touch them with your finger of love tonight. We lift up to you all those that are bereaved, Sister Shirley Williams, Mother Pearl Manning's sister, God, and Sister Haley Barge, and others, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to wrap your arms of love around them, that they might be able to feel your peace during their time of loss. We thank you, oh God, for the healing of Dr. Tunstall, God.
Thank you, God.
We ask that you would continue,
hallelujah,
to show yourself strong in his life, God. God, we ask that you would extend his days, oh God, beyond his imagination. And we thank you, oh God, for allowing us, oh God, to hear your word on tonight, God. And not only hear your word, but apply your word to our lives, that we might be better as a result. So we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and praise. Amen and
amen.
Thank God.
Praise God. All right. Well, thank each of you for being a part of this time, and we praise God for his presence. So until next week, you be blessed.
Bye-bye.